The scripture today comes from Psalm 104, verses 5 through 24 from the Thomas English Bible. You established the earth on its foundations so that it will never fail. You cover it with watery deep like a piece of clothing. The waters were higher than the mountains, but at your rebuke they ran away. They fled in fear at the sound of your thunder. They flowed over the mountains, streaming down the valleys to the place you established for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross, so they'll never again cover the earth. You put gushing springs into dry riverbeds. They flow between the mountains, providing water for every wild animal. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Overhead, the birds in the skies make their home, chirping loud in the trees. From your lofty house, you water the mountains. The earth is filled full by the fruit of what you've done. You make grass grow for the cattle. You make plants for human farming in order to get food from the ground, and wine, which cheers people's hearts, along with oil, which makes the face shine, and bread, which sustains the human heart. The Lord's trees are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon, which God planted, where the birds make their nests, where the stork has a home in the cypresses. The high mountains belong to the mountain goats. The ridges are the refuge of badgers. God made the moon for the seasons, and the sun too, which knows when to set. You bring on the darkness, and it is night, when every forest animal prowls. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Then people go off to their work, to do their work until evening. Lord, you have done so many things. You made them all so wisely. The earth is full of your creation. Our second scripture is out of the book of Job, chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Let's ask Behemoth, and he will teach you. The birds in the sky, and they will tell you. Or talk to the earth, and it will teach you. The fish of the sea will recount it for you. Among all these things, who hasn't known that the Lord's hand did this? In whose grasp is the life of everything, the breath of every person?
Let us pray. Lord God, it is you who guides us, direct us. It's you that knows what we need of. Lord, we ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears today. Let us receive what your Spirit has for us. Let it take root, that it may challenge us, and we may grow from it. And all the beloved said, Amen. How many of you ever tried to create something or build something? Probably everyone in this room, right? So I recently started a journey on sourdough bread. And so excited. Followed the first attempt. It said, you take the water, you take the flour, and you mix together. And every day you have to take half of it out, throw it away, and add fresh stuff to it. And then after 7 days, these two objects, flour and water, automatically become living life. They take on a life of their own. And from that, it will then start to permeate dough so you can create dough from it. After 7 days, I did this, and you're supposed to do certain things every day. And 14 days, it's active. After 14 days, I had mold growing in a jar. I was like, that's okay, I'll try again. So you dump it out. I did it for more. This one, I made it to day 5, and it was completely separate, water and flour, and they could not be joined together again, no matter how much mixing. Threw it away. Third time, and a friend of mine says, well, my grandma has a 100-year-old starter. Why don't you just take some of hers? I'll give you some of hers and we'll start. I've had it for over a month and a half, and that thing is the most alive thing that I've ever seen. It took on a life of its own, and every week, I still have to take care of it. I still have to nurture it. I can't leave it alone, but every week, it's something new, and from it, I can gain nutrients from it. This is the creation that Job is speaking about when it comes to God. And from that, he claims that nature itself is an expert on God's involvement in our lives. Now, these are Job's friends that come to him. Job had sat down and he was upset and he was angry because first, all of his livestock was destroyed. His house was destroyed. Everything he had was destroyed. His children were destroyed. And his wife looks at him and says, "You've been through all of this. Just curse God and die." And he gets on the ground and his body is covered from boils from head to toe. So much so that when his friends come to him, these same friends, they didn't know what to say. So for 7 days, they fasted and they prayed for him. Let's not forget that as we join in this conversation with these friends. Yes, these friends spoke to Job, and we're going to see some things they said to him. But in that, remember how it started. That these seven friends were in such a heart with Job that they sat down and remained silent for 7 days without eating or drinking. But then right before this context, we get to Job 12. The friends begin to blame Job and say, "Well, didn't God do this? So if God did this, then you are a sinner because of what's going on in your life. It's your fault you're poor. It's your parents' fault that you wear glasses. It's the sins of someone in your generation is the reason that you have cancer." That was the theology of the time. And Job sits down and he says, "But ask the animals and they will teach you, or the birds of the air, and they will teach you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, or let the fish of the sea inform you." What is this saying? That in every part of nature, destruction happens. God spoke all things into existence, and we got the Big Bang. There was explosions, planets hitting planets, meteors hitting planets, things exploding in outer space. Forest fires, horrific forest fires burn. But from that, from the ashes of the forest fires, you get new life, new vegetation, freshness. Tsunamis come through and destroy things. But from that, life begins afterwards. Fish swim in the ocean and other fish come along and eat them and life continues. Yes, bad things happen in this world. Yes, we look and we see violence, but God's hand is still there. And nature teaches us that in every day, the sun will continue to rise, the seasons will continue to shift, and animals will continue to follow what God has designed them for. They will continue on with one purpose. What is our purpose? What is our design? What is it that the universe is trying to tell us that we have forgotten? We are the created ones. We're the sourdough that God still has to remove stuff from every week, that God takes our branches and he cuts off the dead ones so that new life can come in. God's intricately in part of every aspect of our lives. Next verse. Which of all these things does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? The hand of the Lord has done this. God himself took Adam and Eve, breathed into them, and they became a living soul. God did not abandon them after that. God began to guide them and direct them and direct humanity. And we see that all throughout the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament, that continually God's hand is in it, trying to guide us, that God's life is permeable with ours. You can't separate God from people. Each one of us has a distinct relationship with God, and God's hand is active. God didn't just wind the world up and let it go and say, "Okay, now I'm going to back out and see how this works." No, and we know this because after a specific amount of time, on a specific day, in a specific hour, God sent his only begotten Son to be born of a virgin, that he could direct us, that he could teach us, that he could guide us, that he could be our example. And when that wasn't enough, then he suffered and died and rose again and is seated at the right hand of the Father so that we can continually make our intercessions to Christ on a daily basis. When we feel lost, when we doubt God's presence, this verse invites us to look at the complexity of life. It's physical proof of a purposeful creator. Whether you believe that the 7 days were exactly 7 days, or you believe that those 7 days were thousands and millennia of years that life took process over time, both point to a creative God. If you look at it from millennia, we're not a single day. A day unto the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is unto a day. And you say there was a process of life. Then look at the 0.0000001. It's 10th to the 100th power of -1. However many zero, it's a lot of zeros. That's the amount of percentage, not the actual number, but the amount of percentage that would it take for the earth to be in the exact spot it needs to be in, for the moon to be in the exact spot it needs to be in, for Jupiter to be in the exact spot it needs to be in, from the distance of the sun, for life to maintain on this planet. God's hand was in it. And if you look at it, it's exactly 7 days. Look at the time period. Look at the things that God did in the moments of the creation. First, he created light. He didn't create the sun and the moon. First, God created light. Then God created darkness, and he separated from the darkness from the light, the night and the day, because everything needs a cycle of life. Then he created land and water and divided them. We have land and sea. Then he created the trees. He was creating sustenance. And after the seas were there, after the land was there, after the plants were there that everything would eat off of, then he took human beings and animals and placed them in the proper things so that they could be fed first, so they could have habitat first. He didn't take people and throw them into barren darkness and then create everything around them. Everything was created purposeful, and then he placed them in after. A distinct process. God knows what the Lord is doing, and what the Lord is doing is good. Everything has a link. There is sustenance in every single thing. Next verse. In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. God breathed into us. God's life is in us. God cares about us. Each one of us is linked in that same breath. All humanity is created unto one God. Yes, we all look differently. We were born out of different environments, but we are all one people, the people of God. We are all one vast community. If you take one person from this community, the whole community will suffer. But if you add one person, the whole community rejoices. Everything we have depends upon our source, upon Christ, upon our Father, and upon each other, for we are all gifts of God. These friends came to Job to be friends. They took time and they sat down with him and they mourned with him. It's okay. We bring our prayers together so that we can mourn together. We confess our sins one to another so that we can encourage one another. We bring our prayers to God because we know that God will comfort us in our time of need. This is the same God that knows the very numbers of our hair upon our head. Granted, as we get older, that number gets easier, but God knows it. From the time where we're born and we breathe our first breath until the time we breathe our last, Christ is there through our entire relationship. And then from eternity unto eternity after we take our last breath on earth. Christ has made us a new creation. Christ has transformed us. That's the purpose. It's not that we have to remain the same. That yes, we were created, but we don't have to remain the same. Creation is active. Creation goes forward. Purpose drives us forward. That we take our old creation, the things we were before we knew God, and we come to a new realization of our creation within God. And we reflect on all the things that God has done through our entire life, in the good and in the bad. And we can still rejoice in God because it's the hand of the Lord that's sustaining us. It is the hand of the Lord is it upon every aspect of creation. That just as God tells the animals and teaches us that by the animals will do exactly as God has told them to do, then we can live out our new identity, doing exactly what God wants for us, choosing love over hate, peace over chaos, unity over division, choosing Christ upon any other relationship or identity, because Christ chose us. Nature teaches us that God chose to be with us, that just as the birds trust God and God feeds them, that God nourishes the sparrow and they do not have to go search for it, that just as a lily is clothed and taken care of, and Solomon's raiments never were as beautiful as that lily's, our lives are perfectly taken care of. Our lives are perfectly meaningful. And as we go out in that, then we can bring that same peace unto others for the transformation of the world, not just in ourselves, but in our community, in our neighbors, in our loved ones, that when the world comes to them to speak hate and blame them, we can say no, because God, because Jesus loves you, because God loves you, because God created you, and in that, God created you for a purpose. Let us pray. Lord God, it is you who has chosen us to be here. It is you who placed us in a time for such as this. Lord, help us to continue to look upon the natural things to understand the unnatural God, the immaterial God, that we can join in relationship with you, that we can sing your praises even when things go wrong, and that we can help bless others with what we have. Lord, guide us continually that we may draw closer to you and closer to one another. And all the beloved said, Amen.